Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Doris, why you gotta be mean? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. His name is still Jim Campbell.
Hello.
And he's still Luke Moore.
All right.
Let's get on with it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the preview show. Oh, my goodness. The footballs are close, Jim. It's getting nearly to fever pitch.
Can you taste them? Can you taste the footballs?
I can almost taste the balls.
Yeah, you can almost taste them. Yeah. Excellent.
Ooh, naughty. Shall we begin with a relegation one?
Yeah.
It's Crystal Palace at home to Middlesbrough. It's a very important one down there at the bottom of that Premier League table.
They love an important relegation match at home, don't they, Palace? That's where they thrive of late.
I mean, I'm actually quite pleased this game isn't on television.
Yeah.
Because it's getting to the point now in the Premier League where games at that end of the table are, they start to resemble sort of set-piece battle scenes from Game of Thrones. It's just muck and bullets everywhere.
Yeah. It becomes like NFL.
People just come away from those games thinking, what have I just seen?
Sometimes that can be quite entertaining, can it not?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, true. But it's not going to be one for the purist, I mean.
But maybe not this one, because Middlesbrough tend not to supply the viewer with goals.
True. No. And not the Crystal Palace lately. I mean, the Crystal Palace...
Lately.
The talk of Crystal Palace's problems was to do with the fact they conceded too many, they didn't have any problems scoring goals. But they've actually only scored 5 in their last 10 in the league. Mm. So that they've stopped scoring as well. So we're not... On paper, and as we've seen by doing this show over many years, the game isn't played on paper, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
We had that question at the start of the week.
Yeah. It looks to be like it's going to be a low-scoring one.
Mm.
Which, you know, that's just how it is sometimes, you guys. Just get on with it.
It's just what the math says of it, isn't
it? Are we going to have a lot of fouls? Probably.
Are we going to have a lot of fun?
To get behind that? Probably not. To get behind that.
Borough don't concede many away from home, do they? So
they don't concede many, to be fair.
This is all set up for it to be like 5-5 or something, just because we've said this, but and that keeps happening.
A big blow for Palace would be the fact that Scott Dan is struggling for fitness. He had a hamstring injury, which he's struggling to shake off. I think he's probably been their best defender, which I concede isn't saying an awful lot this season, but he's still an important player for them.
Yeah, well, and Chris Samba is not training with them anymore. He didn't get the deal he wanted.
He was training with them.
We talked about this,
didn't we? About that, yeah.
I must have forgotten it.
Very forgettable information.
Yeah, it really is. Do you know what it was? I just genuinely wasn't interested. That's what it was.
Why are you forgetting about people who are best years are behind them and they're training with Allardyce's Crystal Palace?
No. If anything, that should be what I live for.
Yeah.
That's the sort of things what we started doing.
What we signed up to.
Well, he's gone to train with Blackburn.
Okay.
You know.
Makes sense.
Under Tony Mowbray now, ex-Middlesbrough.
Yeah. Can the human mind imagine what it would be like to replace Owen Coyle with Tony Mowbray? I think it's not the most underwhelming thing to happen in football history. I think it's up there in the top 10 things to have happened that are underwhelming in the 21st century more generally.
That's so underwhelming. Do you even have a top 10?
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean? Top implies that it's in some way positive.
No, that the fact that I have that top 10 is in the top 10.
Would you not have a bottom 10 and then you would never reveal the top 10? No, that's being underwhelming.
It's not even in the bottom 10, is it?
I think on this particular appointment, I think it's reasonable to suggest that there'll be foreign players at Blackburn who won't have even realised the manager's change, because they won't necessarily pick up the nuances between the Middlesbrough accent and the Scottish accent. They won't even know this is happening.
I think you'd be a bit harsh.
No.
Mowbray got out of the league before.
They were thinking, I read in the paper that we changed manager,
though,
but I can't really tell.
He did get back in.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
A Middlesbrough supporting friend of mine once touted Tony Mowbray's future England manager.
Did he?
There's still time.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. That's genuinely hope there isn't still time for that to happen.
It's sort of like like jury duty now, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Sort of... Do you know what just happened then? It took me about a second, which is normally about half a second longer than normal, to remember who the England manager was. That's what we've got to think about.
Well, that's the moment he has every morning. He wakes up feeling great and then goes, what's going on? Oh God.
Yeah.
You know when you get those, someone like a distant cousin of the Queen does something really strange and it's on like local news. Yeah. And someone says, well, of course, you know, if 131 people in front of them suddenly drop dead, they'd be the king of England or something. What would you think, Mowbray?
About that,
I'd say, for England manager.
I could probably confidently, I'm not going to do it now because I don't have time, but I could probably confidently name 100 people I'd prefer than him.
It would never be that high.
Not all in football, by the way.
I'd do so, and I bet Mowbray... I bet he's. We'll refer to the England manager position as the throne.
Yeah.
I reckon Mowbray's only about 17th in line for the throne. It's that bad. You know what, mate?
The only good thing about being England manager these days is you get to go to a lot of games for free.
And the money.
Yeah. Oh, the money,
They still pay ridiculous amounts. And getting your face photoshopped into a vegetable and being ridiculed for getting a group of players that frankly aren't up to it to underachieve.
But for the rest of your natural life.
Yes, but anyway, Mowbray is the new Blackburn manager. We will come back very, very quickly to Crystal Palace versus Middlesbrough. He got the job, but the man who probably is 131st in line for the England throne, Tim Sherwood, didn't get the job.
No. He's still not managing Swindon, isn't he?
Oh, it's fantastic. As of February the 9th, there was a really great article in the newspaper that I'm not going to name because I don't like them, but the article itself was good, saying that, and this is February the 9th, a couple of weeks ago, Tim Sherwood has been at Swindon for 3 months. He's won just 19% of games. Fans are turning on him, and he's only taking questions during a publicity stunt for Football Manager. Right. The subheadings were, Swindon Town unveiled Tim Sherwood as director of football November 10th. He was given control of transfers, tactics and put in charge of team selection. Manager.
Yeah.
Essentially a manager.
Yeah.
3 months later, the ex-Tottenham boss has a win rate of just 19%. He's not attended a single pre- or post-match press conference and he was not at the county ground for his team's home derby defeat by Oxford.
It's not his job, is he?
Right.
It's not the manager.
Right. Just to let you know, I said that was February the 9th at the top of that, just to give you a quick update.
Yep.
They've played three games since then.
Yep.
They've not won any of them. So if anything, it's worse.
Yeah.
And Luke Williams, the poor old sausage, who's just not up for it, he's not qualified at all to be the manager, is the manager, but Sherwood is essentially doing all the things that presumably are good about being a manager with none of the responsibility.
Yeah, nothing to answer to as well.
No.
Shall we go back to Palace versus Middlesbrough?
Well, one more thing before we do. He has made, Tim has made a contribution to the cause as far as he has been charged with using abusive and or insulting words and behaviour towards a match official in a game that he did deign to turn up with for against Bury. They lost that.
Did the match official say, describe your own performance?
Yeah.
That's abusive.
Just so you, Swindon fans won't thank me for this, but for those of you who aren't necessarily abreast of Swindon's performances of late, 22nd in League One. So yeah, please go ahead to Crystal Palace now. I'm done.
Bring back the Canio.
I'm sated.
Who would have thought that?
I'm not endorsing that.
But Palace and Middlesbrough do have proper managers, though, in the form of Allardyce and Karanka. Karanka said the other day that he didn't want to put too much pressure on his players. So obviously, Middlesbrough are down near the drop zone. I mean, with the emergence of Hull, obviously Swansea look like they're going to be fine now under Clermont. Borough have got to be very careful, Jim, because
they do.
If they lose this game, they're not really scoring that much at all. It's now getting towards the end of February. It's the time to really
dig in and start putting those results in. Yeah, I mean, exactly. This is a really important one. Like, the goals thing is obviously a problem, as it would be for anybody, but... the way Palace capitulated against Sunderland, Middlesbrough are going to be looking at that. And Gadira, he used to play for Palace, I think. Said recently on a local website in Middlesbrough, which I found on the internet. He was talking about the nerves of the home crowd and how sometimes, you know, because things haven't been going particularly well, you can sort of target that and attack early, try and get an early goal. You see what happened against Sunderland, their heads went and then they slumped. So obviously they're thinking about that. And the website I found that on is So Northern. It also has a section that's just called Nostalgia.
I think the Palace situation is I mean, the Crystal Palace fans I know, and there are a couple, are completely... it's just so underwhelmed by what Allardyce has done there. I think there was a great expectation that he's the man to do the business there. He hasn't done that. This is a game they absolutely need to win, no question about it. Middlesbrough don't score goals. Palace have stopped scoring, as we've already mentioned. They're at home. They haven't. I mean, the only game they've won in living memory was against Bournemouth. That's an odd result against Bournemouth. Mm. Bournemouth just didn't turn up at all. And they've got some tough games coming up, Palace, as well. I mean, they... They go to Chelsea for in April. They've got a big April, actually. They play Arsenal and Liverpool as well in that. So this is a no-brainer. And if you fancy Crystal Palace, they're 21-20 with Bet365 to win this game. £10 will return you £20.50, including your stake.
Yeah, when you look at that April, they need to get some points on the board before.
Big time.
And April is... it's getting ever so closer.
Big
looming. Every day at a time, April gets closer.
Yeah.
That's always true, unless it's April.
I was going to say, and then it gets further away.
Yeah. Can you just give us a bit more on that? Do you want to go into any more detail on that one, mate?
We'll talk about the calendar another time.
Okay.
But Everton are at home to Sunderland as well. Now, Sunderland, they've been slagged off for making redundancies after coming back from their little trip to New York.
Well, not many people consider the whole backroom staff situation when teams get relegated. I mean, I think fans are possibly sometimes quite quick to laugh at a rival team getting relegated, but there's a lot of people, a lot of hard-working people who lose their jobs as a result of that, and this will be no different when Sunderland are inevitably relegated.
At least they got a trip to New York out of it. Would it have not been harsher to sack them
before? I don't think the staff went...
No, they weren't given the nod, mate. But by the way, just to change the subject slightly, how's Ronald Koeman's Twitter feed at the moment?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's just lovely. They're out in... were they out in the
Middle East?
Were they in the Middle East? I know a few sides have. There was a picture and it looked quite sunny and he seemed quite pleased with himself. That's essentially the key to it.
There was a nice thing online that people spotted where Koeman tweeted about him and his backroom staff going out for a number of drinks.
Mm.
I think it might have been in the mid-season, a break or something. And then they had, a training game the next day. Mm-hmm. And the photo afterwards was all of them looking quite worse for wear in sunglasses.
That's right. That was quite... Yeah, that was very recent, yeah.
Yeah,
do get on Koeman's Twitter. It's your lovely thing.
It's your number one must follow, isn't it?
It's just lovely.
Is it the only thing you follow?
I would love it if it was.
Him and Jesus.
Jesus is on Twitter now.
I think I really want Koeman to go to Barcelona at one stage. Just give you that little bit more insight that you don't get.
Yeah, I know what
you mean. Luis Enrique's not tweeting away.
No, he's not.
I don't know if Barcelona are going to look at that as a one of the requirements to have him take over, though.
Koeman will have that in his contract.
Yeah,
but no Twitter, no Koeman.
Imagine he sang that the whole interview. I think Luis Enrique, and I might be wrong, I'm not across this as summer. I think Luis Enrique is a man who takes life quite seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of Guardiola, it's certainly that as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Ronald's a bit too frivolous for the Barcelona decision makers.
I don't know if he
is frivolous. I think it's more that sort of Dutch confidence that many of those guys have.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you grinning? Yeah. Just still sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He was brimming with Dutch confidence.
He was overspilling with Dutch confidence.
Oh dear, Dutch confidence everywhere. Now, Ross Barkley said the current crop of midfielders at Everton are the best he's played with. I mean, he hasn't been at the club too long. He's obviously quite a young man, but he's been there a few years.
Well, he's still only 23, Ross Barkley, isn't he? So.
Well, not only that, I mean, there's quite a lot of them.
There is.
So by definition, some of them are going to need to be good.
But I think that's slightly the point he was saying. The amount of combinations they've got in that midfield, a little bit of steel with a couple of players there. Yeah. They've got some creativity. They do have a nice balance, and Koeman seems to be working out. Now, it's a shame for Everton that Koeman is being linked away from the club because they started a little bit slow and they're really getting into their groove under Koeman now. They're one of the...
No, they started well and they had like a really big slump.
Oh, was that it? Sorry.
They started well. They flew out of the blocks.
Sorry.
They had a big slump and now they're back again. I don't think they've lost in 8 games or something. Now they're doing very well again. But they have been a bit up and down. You're right.
But you would imagine that if he stayed on for next season... Now, he hasn't gone to Barcelona. There's obviously a bit of speculation. That doesn't mean to say he's going to go. But if he stayed there, if he had a summer... Few quid in the transfer, give him a battle box.
Buy some more midfield players.
Because they're probably not...
Just a big midfield.
They've probably not got a war chest, so a battle box.
Okay.
Should...
There's new funding there and stuff. He's been treated to one or two little sweeties, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He can afford a war chest.
Yeah. Get him set up in a 2-7-1 formation.
Yeah.
And pack that midfield.
I'd like to see him play... a goalkeeper, nine midfield players,
and Romelu Lukaku,
and himself a sweeper.
He can still hit a pen.
Tweet that.
Yeah.
GoPro on his head, tweeting it. Just tweeting the photos from the game.
But if he did stay, now, I know a lot of the other clubs have got quite a bit of quality and managers and so on, but next season, it wouldn't be outrageous to think if they carried on in this trajectory that they could try and even, dare I suggest, battle for, say, fourth or fifth spot.
Well, they can absolutely try and put themselves in the conversation. That has to be the trajectory that they're looking at. And I think, you know, Koeman's managed this so well, isn't he? It's telling that Barkley talks about how, because there are so many different midfield options, it means quite often he will play a slightly different role, even if within the same actual position at times. And that's clearly going to help him grow as a midfielder. And if you've got a big midfield, if you've got a lot of midfielders that you like at your disposal, and every manager would want that, that's a smart way to manage it, isn't it? Because you're improving every player, but just by finding what those little combinations are and seeing what clicks when and what situations you can use that in. And you're right, he's obviously doing a very good job, and this is a great game for them to sort of show how far they've come, because they're effectively playing against the team that they used to be.
and that's almost certainly why they're going to be beaten 1-0.
And they'll get a draw.
Yeah.
Baines with a last-minute penalty.
Yeah. It's only David Moyes' second return to Goodison, isn't it?
Right.
That's going to be interesting.
I mean, look, Everton are in good form. Sunderland most certainly are not. But if you fancy Sunderland to upset the toffee cart, they're 13-2 to beat Everton at the weekend, and £10 will return £75, including steak.
Toffee apple cart.
Toffee, I've missed an opportunity there, haven't I?
That's all right.
I'll do that next time. Give it a couple of weeks. People have forgotten about that. I'll do it again.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
fine.
Moyes will be a black cat among the toffees.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah,
that doesn't work at all.
Bit like yellow. But remember Jim's one there, ladies and gentlemen.
If you do take anything away from that particular little passage, do try and make it Jim's contribution there.
And it was heard. Yeah. No need to tweet.
All we do is come here twice a week to let our opinions be heard.
Imagine the stuff that gets edited out. Not much stuff gets edited out, as you can tell. Spurs are at home to Stoke. Will Mark Hughes get his hand shook at White Hart Lane? That is the big question on Stoke on Trent.
If you're Pochettino, put yourself into the mind of a successful man. I'll do the same. It's tough. How are you approaching this handshake situation?
I'd look away.
That's gonna fan the flames.
That's what you want, isn't it? Because he's going to be wound up. He's not going to give a very good team talk.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'd do? I think you're right. I think Spells is onto something here. What I'd do is I would give a lettuce leaf look away, horrible handshake at the start. Then at the end, when my team's won, give him a proper man's handshake.
Yep, yeah. No. Fist
just to
bump.
Show him that I can do it.
Fist bump.
Fist bump. Yeah. Yeah. Make him shake the fist.
Yeah, because he would.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he would sort of look at that with disdain and not engage with it, or just not know what it was.
I think he'd
shake the fist because I guess technically that. That's a hand.
I think he'd give the fist a little slap. Dare I say he would spank the fist.
Maybe he punched it. Two men punching each other's fists would be an incredibly aggressive thing, and I can see him in that situation.
Yeah.
He'd thrive.
Mm. Yeah, I think you'd need a lot of Dutch confidence to fist pump Mark Hughes.
Agree.
But who knows? We look forward to seeing what happens there. Vertonghen said this week that Spurs have a big enough and strong enough squad to compete on all three fronts for the rest of the season. The Europa, if they go through, of course, at the time of recording. That game has not been played. The FA Cup and the Premier League. You say the Premier League's probably gone, but you can still the difference between finishing second and even third, but especially fourth, or obviously outside the top four, is huge. So, so they've got a lot to play.
Sorry,
for
what
there.
Other eventualities do they have there?
So they could drop down to
you don't know, do you?
17. No, I don't know.
Pick it up on the Vertonghen thing. I really enjoyed an interview I saw I think it might have even been today, this morning, with Carl Walker, who dispelled a few of the sort of Pochettino trained his players really hard myths. Said at this stage of the season they've adapted quite a bit, they're not training nearly as hard as they were before, and he said he still feels really fresh ahead of the running. And you know, one thing that's worth remembering, starting with this game against Stoke, Spurs have got a lot of winnable games between now and the end of the season. I think going to Burnley was as tough as it gets for them ahead of the North London Derby at the end of April. We've talked on this show on more than one occasion about how we think that Chelsea are going to win the league. I still do think that, but if you look at Spurs' fixtures, there's no reason they still can't be in the conversation quite late on. Yeah, I think so. And you know, they're playing, and they've sold out Wembley for tonight's game as well, which is a big achievement. And there obviously seems to be a bit of a lack of atmosphere there, and it's difficult generally we all know, we've all been there to get a good atmosphere at Wembley. And Spurs are going to be playing there, I think, as things stand, for all their home games next season, which will possibly be a bit of a challenge for them. But in terms of the rest of the season, it's a shame they've let Chelsea get away as much as they have. I know, obviously, I don't set out to do that, but it's a shame, because I think if the gap had been slightly smaller, say, you know, 5 points or whatever, it would have been a really, really interesting end to the season.
Especially if they beat Chelsea as well, you know, not that long ago. You know, they can match Chelsea. But Pochettino's been slightly concerned about lacklustre performances in recent weeks for Spurs.
Well, I think they had two, didn't they? They had two fairly poor
Liverpool
ones.
Of
yeah, the Liverpool
yeah.
one and the Genk.
I think
one.
It goes back a little bit further. I mean, you could even go all the way back to Wickham in the Cup. You know, wasn't too good. Obviously, it's a slightly different game. But
yeah, well, they dominated Fulham, though, didn't they?
Fulham has been the bright spark.
Get back on the horse performance.
Yeah, it was.
And to be fair to them, they're good at that. They are good at sort of, you know, looking like they may be a little bit fatigued and a little bit leg and then thumping someone. So, you know...
Is that called the Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
I'd love to see them rip their shirts off.
but Spurs, they have had... That Fulham result was them, as you say, Luke, getting back on the wagon.
It was just the fact that, I mean, Fulham aren't as good as some of the teams in the Premier League, obviously. Although, they're not terrible. Spurs all over the pitch and for the duration of the game. As you said, I think, on Monday, Jukanovic said, you know, we were outclassed. Whatever he said, we were outclassed.
Yeah, they dominated, yeah. But, that's, I mean, right. It wasn't that long ago Spurs drew away to Sunderland, I think it was. You know, they've had a bit of a poor start to 2017, relatively speaking, which is why Chelsea have galloped away in first place. But hopefully, you know, for their sakes, they can start to put that right. Although Mark Hughes won't want that to happen. Jim.
I was just going to say they've won 4-0, haven't they? The last two times they've played Stoke in the league. So I mean, Stoke right. a bit better since then.
Right, I didn't know that. That sounds about right, but I wasn't sure.
You're going to go for 4-0 this time, Jim? Go on, make a prediction.
don't ever make a prediction on this show. Don't ever do it.
We're going to talk more Premier League and the League Cup after this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The streets
company, but falls a ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody. Leicester City, Europe's Leicester City, are hosting Liverpool. Claudio Ranieri said before the Sevilla match, something inside could change. We need one match like this. Did they get it? Because some of the pundits suggested that, Jim, you're shaking your head, some of the pundits after that game rightly said that Leicester actually, especially considering the circumstances, have got away with a pretty decent result. They're only a 2-1 loss away in Sevilla. But you're not convinced, Mr. Campbell.
Well, if you look at the scoreline, it's not the end of the world, is it?
It's not a
good
bad result.
To come back with an away goal. And Ranieri said that was the minimum he wanted from the tie. So they got that. They are still in it. But if you'd not watched the game and you read the reports afterwards, you'd get the impression that they were outplayed and outclassed in the first half, which would be absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of powerfully rallied to get something back in the second, and it showed a bit of fight and shows that actually maybe they won't be dead and buried in the second leg. But I don't think that's how it played out at all.
No,
they had a good moment, and Sevilla weren't clinical enough in finishing it off. They could have put that tie to bed. But I just don't think Leicester showed very much, and it's been reported as if they did.
Yeah, Leicester rode their luck.
Yeah.
And Sevilla, as you say, lacked a little bit of cutting edge. They should have won the game probably 3-4-1. And Kasper Schmeichel was pretty good in goal.
He was fantastic.
He really was great. And it was strange because that Leicester goal came out of nowhere. And a beautiful setup and a nice finish as well. And it looked like the, you know, Leicester of last season.
Yeah. Drinkwater to Vardy.
Yeah. And I think people thought, oh, there you go. They can remember that they can do this. But then actually, as you say, when you break the whole game down, I mean, Huth and Morgan looked like...
The penalty that Morgan gave away was just so amateurish.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, even Huth's attempt to get the ball first.
It was embarrassing all round, yeah.
I was going to say, like, it was bordering on quite embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also getting pretty tired of hearing from pundits, is this the platform they can build on? It's like, listen... How many times have we heard them say that? We heard it when they
beat Man City.
They beat Man City 4-2 in December. We heard it on New Year's Eve when they beat West Ham. Oh, this is going to kick them on. This not happened, and they've lost this game. Fine, the scoreline, I agree with Jim, actually. I think everything you said was absolutely correct. The scoreline clearly could have been an awful lot worse. It isn't, but, I mean, there's not really anything to build on there other than the fact that they put one move together in 90 minutes and were able to score, and I guess it's positive, obviously, that Vardy got a much-needed goal because that's his first goal for, like, 10 games or something. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there's not really any takeaways there.
No.
I mean, the Leicester City fans were incredible. They looked like they're having a good time, and as well they should. I mean, you'd always want to be enjoying that when your team are in Europe, and it's not an everyday thing. Other than that, I don't really see an awful lot there to be excited about.
Just that they're still in it. That's the bare minimum, isn't it? You know, they could step things up and have an incredible night at the King Power and maybe do it. And it'd be great if they could, but I just don't think that they will.
But on that, we know it anyway, based as well on what you guys have just said there. Leicester are going to concede against Sevilla in the next leg.
Sevilla are really good away from home.
So what does that mean? That means that Leicester need to score a hatful of goals, and they've not looked like doing that at all. So this, I mean, I am not positive or encouraged by the prospect of them staying in this competition.
You can't see a 1-0 Leicester.
No.
And you can't see a 3-1 Leicester.
No.
No. I'm sort of annoyed by them at this point. I mean, I just kind of want Liverpool to smash them
I'm hugely surprised you've got sort of an amount of annoyance left over from being a full-time Arsenal fan. I'm sure you haven't got much to spare.
Deflecting it elsewhere.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. Sharing it around.
Maybe they'll do a Man City and score 5 at home.
But Liverpool are good.
That's how you do it.
Indeed, yeah.
Liverpool are good for the occasional poor performance. So, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility Leicester could win this game. And if you think they are going to win it, they're 9-2 with Bet365 to win. £10 will give you £55, including your stake. But did I hear someone say Man City?
You did.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
One of the great Champions League games.
You know what? City have needed a game like that in Europe because they've had a strange relationship with the Champions League, haven't they? You get the impression, and this has been widely reported as well.
Yeah, but they had a game like that against PSG last season.
Yeah, but I think what they need is to build this history and have these nights. That was what they were struggling with at first. Like, they didn't almost feel comfortable there in terms of the atmosphere in the stadium. It was a bit strange as well. But you've got to have these nights to remember and build these stories and create that legacy. And that was absolutely one of them. Yeah, one of the finest games we've seen in the Champions League in a long time.
It was magnificent. They've beaten Barcelona at home this season as well, so that adds to that.
They got past PSG last year, and they narrowly lost out to Real Madrid in the semis, didn't they? So
yeah, I mean,
they're starting to build a catalogue of performances in this competition that their fans can really hang their hat on the goal. Yeah. I love that. They started, as Jim said, to grow into the competition, if you like.
But that game is great because when Monaco went 3-2 up, you thought, blimey.
Yeah.
You know, if Monaco win this, say, 4-2 or something, I mean, it's not over because of Man City's players. But we talked up Monaco, as a lot of people have done, rightly so, you know, scoring tons of goals this season. And that Falcao goal.
Wasn't that beautiful? Just seeing back to his best. That was as good as any he scored for Atletico.
Absolutely right. It was so unnecessary. That's why it was so good. He could have, because I thought to myself, was he slightly off balance and the dink made sense, you know, in the circumstances? No, he could have just like curled that into the corner or something. It was a stunning finish. It really was. But Man City's response was superb. I mean, yes, they looked frail at the back and Stones had his criticisms. Okay, he scored, but ultimately, his performance wasn't great, but Man City will be pleased to see Aguero getting on the score sheet. That volley was quite a nice one.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? He anticipated it for what seemed like hours before it actually got to his boot. It left the keeper with no chance.
Falcao was able to sort of scale these enormous heights and then essentially hit the basement low of that penalty as well. His career is obviously never a dull one, really.
No, certainly
he did everything on one side to be so good, and on the other side just showed what he's capable of when he's not at the races. It makes me so frustrated when I see people taking penalties like that. You know, all the odds are in your favour. You know, it's a big game. It's a knockout football. You're in knockout football now. There's no time to be mucking around with that stuff. I don't want to sound like an old man, like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses, but put the penalty away. You've shown I think it was later in the game when he showed what he was capable of with that chip. There is plenty of times to be able to do that. The penalty is something your team have been awarded and have won, which gives you a great advantage. That's the whole point of a penalty. Don't throw it away. Don't give the goalkeeper an opportunity. It really frustrated me that. But it was one of the great Champions League games, though. It was full of instinct. Yeah. You could not take your eyes off
Sevilla missed the penalty as well.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
The second leg is so brilliantly poised in this because, you know, with Monaco scoring as many goals as they do and still managing to get 3 away from home, you just, you know, obviously City are massively in the driving seat, but it's all set up for it to be a really good second leg as well.
Absolutely.
Indeed, yeah. But back to Leicester, though, against Liverpool. Liverpool, one win for them in the league this calendar year, which was obviously against Spurs. You know, they've not been brilliant, but that game against Spurs was a much more positive result. Sané's back, of course. Mané, of course. Yeah, I've got Man City on the mind.
Yeah.
Lucas and Lovren are doubts for this game, but you look at the Liverpool back line, but you think it probably won't be tested that much by Leicester.
Well, this is it, isn't it? You feel like that you could put anyone out against Leicester and they will mentally crumble.
But I think Leicester should be using this as an opportunity. I mean, because Leicester have shown, when they won the title last year, they showed that they can sit there and they can soak it up and they can hit teams on the break. That is the perfect way to play against this Liverpool team. Mm-hmm. We've seen teams from League Two play well in that way against Liverpool. So if they can do it, there's no reason Leicester can't do it. If they show anything like the sort of form they showed up by and large for the entirety of last season. So there's an opportunity for Leicester there as well. They shouldn't be cower away from this, and they shouldn't see it as anything other than an opportunity, really.
Is there an argument, though, that Leicester seem to have forgotten how to do that?
Oh, of course there is. But there's not. That's happened.
Well, yeah.
But I'm just saying this is an opportunity
to re-establish that. Yeah, but what I mean is, I think, you know, are they confident enough to do that? Because they simply just don't look up to it.
I don't think they're confident enough to do their shoes up at the moment. But I mean, you know, they've got to fill the fixtures.
They certainly do. Shall we go to the League Cup final?
Yes.
Oh, it's Manchester United versus Southampton. The first chance of silverware this season, people. Come on. If Southampton can win this, it'll be their first major trophy since 1976.
Which is the only major trophy they've ever won.
That's right, isn't it? They were a second division team at the time as well.
Beat Manchester United in the final.
Laurie McMenemy was the manager, I believe.
Because there's only one side on the south coast that's ever won their England's top flight, Luke.
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Portsmouth Pompey Boys.
More than one as well.
As they're known.
Yeah. That's their full name, actually.
The Portsmouth Pompey Boys. Is that the name of the firm?
The Portsmouth Pompey Boys FC.
The Magnificent Pompey Boys. The Southampton. They did win the Football League trophy in 2010.
I remember that. Yeah, they battered Carlisle. They were 4-0 up after about an hour.
That's right, yeah. The team boasted Adam Lallana, Ricky Lambert.
And Mikel Antonio, didn't
they? Mikel Antonio, Jose Font.
Yeah, wow. Okay, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
These players go up with the levels and find that they're able to perform.
That's right. Well, Adam Lallana's just signed a new deal at Liverpool.
Yeah,
an underrated late bloomer.
Well, Adam Lallana was a player that I probably infamously, within the confines of these four walls, said that I wasn't sure how long he would last on the clock, but he's certainly proven me wrong, and that's the real quiz.
He was England's Player of the Year as well, wasn't he, this year?
Mm.
But last year.
There is a part of me there, I don't want to have a dig at the guy, but there's a part of me that thinks, makes me sad how far we done fell. Adam Lallana.
Yeah, but he's played well.
He has played well. Yeah,
yes. In among bad circumstances, but still. We should also say that Southampton, when they won that trophy, Pards was the manager.
Big Pards.
Of course he was.
He was at the Sutton game as well, wasn't he, again?
Yep.
Yeah. That's right.
So, yeah, this game is an interesting one, isn't it? Because United have played a lot recently, but Southampton have had 15 days since their last game, or they will have when the final happens. Mm-hmm. That's a long time to prepare for one game, isn't it? There's a lot of eventualities that you plan for. And what I found interesting is Mourinho has said, I think it's Carrick and Mkhitaryan are doubts. They had slight doubts, so
Mkhitaryan limped off against Sheffield, didn't
but
they?
But apparently it's not a particularly bad injury. So he said it could be that Fellaini and Schweinsteiger play. And I wonder, is he just saying that to sort of upset Southampton's plans?
Oh, it might be, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But then the managers do that quite a lot.
They do, yeah. I wouldn't listen to what Mourinho's got to say. And one thing I would say about Mourinho, there was that brilliant press conference he had before the Barcelona game when they played Chelsea, I think. It might have been the first game he played against Barcelona as Chelsea manager at a new camp. I think they lost 2-1 and then maybe they beat them 3-1 at home. I forgive the details. But in the press conference ahead of the game, he said, I know how Barcelona will line up. This is how they'll line up.
Oh, he named the team. Yeah,
the whole team.
I don't think...
It wasn't that hard to call in the sense that they had a pretty good...
But rightly or wrongly, Mark, I don't know if Jose Mourinho sees Southampton as quite as much of a danger.
No.
Well, true enough. You'd imagine he'll do his homework, though. Mm. We spoke about the importance of getting trophies into the cabinet.
Absolutely.
For new managers. Pochettino, we talked about the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Manchester United, under Mourinho, he will be gagging to win this.
I think he really, really badly wants to win this, and I think he really badly wants to win the Europa League as well.
Clearly with the Europa League.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense. You know, we devalue the Europa League because it's a bit of a strange setup and teams... It's a long old slog, And perhaps the revamp of the competition has not been to everybody's tastes. Yeah. It's quite clear because of the criticism it's got. But it's a European trophy. Back in the day, if you won the UEFA
Champions League qualification, my friend.
Champions League qualification as well. If you won the UEFA Cup and you won the Cup Winners' Cup, everybody loved those trophies and it was very much lauded up if you won it. The same with the Europa League. Because when it comes to the final itself, the lights are on, the music's playing, it's a European final.
Yeah.
And it's a great trophy to win.
And I think United have got a reasonable chance. I really do. Yeah, if you look at the sides that are left in it, I know we were talking about the League Cup, but I don't like talking about Southampton, so I was talking about the Europa League. You know, if you look at the
well,
teams,
they were in that.
You look at you look at the teams. So important, by the way. What a night that was against Milan at Fratton Park.
Shut up.
All right, I'll just go back to the Man United thing. If you look at the sides that are still in there, Lyon are a good side in their day. They beat Monaco in Monaco, I think, fairly recently, and they're all but through against AZ Alkmaar. Fiorentina look a little bit hit and miss, although they've beaten Juventus this season, but they look a little bit average, I would say.
Roma?
Roma are good. Roma are probably the I would say Roma are the biggest danger, I would say.
And Spurs, if they can get through.
Oh, yeah.
They're the three best sides.
I'm talking about the sides that are dangerous to the English teams more generally.
Oh, okay,
we know
all
about Spurs. But if you look at the players, Roma have got Dzeko and Perotti and Mo Salah, ex-Chelsea and Fiorentina. Even Fazio, who played for Spurs, he's having a good season at Roma. And they've got Nainggolan as well, of course, who's a great player. So they're a real danger. And you could argue Spurs were probably a bit unlucky against Dortmund last year. It came quite early in their in their sort of development, I suppose. They were beaten, well beaten. I don't mean unlucky in terms of the game, but to draw them quite early in the competition, I mean. I agree with you, Marcus. I think it's a fascinating competition. I think Mourinho wants it badly. I think it will take. They'll take some beating as well.
Wasn't it the first thing he won at Chelsea? I think did he win it in his
first
season?
That was the League Cup. The League Cup.
That's what I mean. I thought we were going back to the League Cup. But if we can do that, Southampton haven't actually conceded a goal in the competition,
Isn't
and
that
they've beaten Arsenal and Liverpool on the way as well. So you know they're on a good run.
Have they peaked too early, Jim?
Your grin suggests that you hope they have.
Do you know what my grin says? Man United to win this one on penalties. It's 12-1 with Bet365. The £10 will deliver you back £130, including your stake. And I've kept pretty quiet up till now.
Have you?
No.
They could do it. They could do a trophy treble, Manchester United.
Yeah.
They could obviously. You know, Chelsea are standing in their way in the FA Cup.
They've got a tough time in the FA Cup.
They do. But Mourinho will think to himself, right, hang on a minute. We're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We're pushing on in the Europa League. We're in the final of the League Cup. Surely. He will be thinking to himself, I want at least one trophy this season. Yeah. You get at least one trophy and you're away. And the feel of the club suddenly begins to think, hang on, the glory days could come back to Old Trafford.
And that's right. But I think Mourinho's probably... He strikes me as being a bit frustrated about the Premier League. I mean, they've had such a good run. No team has lost fewer games than them this season. I mean, they've lost three along with Spurs and Chelsea.
Took their time to get going, but they're away now.
They're still sick. I know they're only 2 points off third and all that, but the run they've had to go on just to maintain their league position really has been some run. I mean, and it's hard. You could look at it two ways. You could think, well... Okay, that's winning is a habit, and they're going to carry on with that form. Mourinho's a good manager; they're a big club. They're going to carry on, or you're going to think, well, it's not going to last. At some point, they're going to have a bit of a wobble, and then they're going to fall away again because they've stayed in the same position for such a long time. Mm. They're closer in terms of points, but that doesn't mean anything come the end of the season. If you're still sick, you're still sick. So that's part of the reason I think that he wants the Europa League so badly.
Yeah, it's another reason. Yeah, I was reading a very interesting article by our friend Jonathan Wilson.
Oh yeah, yeah.
About Wayne Rooney leaving the club, and he said. That actually Mourinho, you know, because Rooney's the suggestions that he may leave because he's not playing much first team football. And he said, you know, Rooney started a few games at the start of the season, hasn't started much recently. And Mourinho, had he have had Mkhitaryan in the form that he's in now and settled, because I think he took a bit of time to settle, you know, new culture, new country and all that kind of stuff. Perfectly understandable. Manchester United might be a bit higher in the league, might have had a few more points on the board. And he said, if Mourinho's come in and just faded out Rooney very gently, it might be kind of a masterstroke, if you like, because he's not upsetting anybody that we know. Certainly not overtly.
It takes a big manager to be able to do that, big name.
Yes.
We talked about it, I think, a number of years ago in the context of Kenny Dalglish perhaps phasing out Steven Gerrard at Liverpool, which I don't think, obviously... really happened, but they've managed it pretty well, I think. I think they've talked a bit about Rooney having niggling injuries here and there, and it's been managed very carefully, I think. I'm a bit sort of in two minds about him going to China. I mean, that's been the link, hasn't it? He's going to go out there in the summer or whatever. And I sort of, yeah, obviously no one wants to stand in the way of someone else making a pound note and all that sort of thing. It's a short career and all that.
Yeah.
So you can sort of understand it from that point of view, because the money being offered will be huge. But then, seems to be quite a homebody type guy. He's got a family. Yeah. Probably won't want to uproot his children, and even worse, go and live there without them and stuff. So it's a big decision for him to make. But the problem is that there's no really other option that's going to match him in terms of wage. I don't even think MLS would match him in wage.
Would he have to take a pay cut, though? Because, as you say, like, it's... I mean,
not to go to China.
No, but I mean, to not go to China. That's what I mean. Maybe he can...
Imagine if you took a pay cut to go to China.
What I'm saying is, I don't think he would want to go to China. That's where I'm starting. I appreciate I didn't actually say that. So fair enough. But, you know, he would have made a lot of money from, you know, from endorsements and things like that. And
but his contract is contract, isn't it? And we talked a bit about how he's earning the money he's earned. I don't know this for a fact, but I would heartily suggest that his image rights and all his endorsement deals have been tied up with Man United. Mm-hmm. And it's probably quite a complicated move for him to move to another club, especially another club in the Premier League. So I think that's probably how. So I'm fairly certain. I don't know when his contract runs to, but I'm fairly certain he can earn the money he can earn until the end of his contract now.
But you look at Rooney and you think, like, where's he going to go? Who's going to have him? It's not going to be anyone competing for the Premier League here. Like, I honestly, like... You could see him somewhere like Celtic if he was willing to take a pay cut, because I don't think he will want to leave. Like,
I know
the
what you
UK.
Mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, he's not going to go to Tianjin Wangjian in China. They did make a little bit of approach for him, but Fabio Cannavaro, who's the manager, said they didn't pursue it because he doesn't suit their style of play.
Digs from all over the world.
China. That'd be me done. I'm not coming now.
I love that.
He's ruined it for everyone.
Yeah. This Chinese side. I'm guessing that you're with me on this, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't heard of them.
No.
All right? So it's not like Wangzhou Evergrande or, you know, one of the
Shanghai.
All them. Yeah. But this is a Chinese side that perhaps most of us haven't heard of, and they're saying Rooney doesn't suit our playing style. I'm pretty sure you'd accommodate him.
Yeah, can I also say, a lot was made of the fact that Paul Stretford's gone out to Beijing, obviously Wayne Rooney's agent, as that's some sort of significant factor. Mm. And there's me sitting there thinking, oh yeah, Paul Stretford's not the sort of guy to get a free trip to China for nothing. Yeah, I'll come out and talk to you. No problem.
He's on his knees up with Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the best news of the day for me. I thought, oh, he's not in the country. I know that doesn't affect me in any way, but I like it. It just gives me a little lift. So yes, Manchester United... against Southampton in the League Cup final. Will we see Wayne Rooney? It remains to be seen.
My strong preference, again, to reiterate, would be Manchester United to win on penalties. That would be my strong preference if the football gods are listening.
Jim, like me, you'd fancy Southampton?
Oh, I'd love it. Yeah.
First trophy since 1976.
Yeah, it'd be great.
It'd be nice. It would be nice. Mm. And again, Luke, I'm sure you're with us here, looking at the bigger picture, certainly in geographical sense. It would be nice for the South Coast to bring back a major trophy again.
And it would be nice for you guys to do a ramble on Monday without me.
Oh, dear. What's our bet of the week then, old sport?
Well, we've got a new man in the hot seat. Ed Gibson stepped up.
Gibby.
Hello to you, Ed. And I'm going to read his email out for the bet of the week. It says, afternoon, Ramblers. My bet of the week has to be Tottenham to beat Stoke on Sunday and therefore to be over 2.5 goals. Bet365 have it at 10-11. The main reason? Stoke's diabolical but entertaining form against the current top five this season, which reads as follows. Stoke 1, Man City 4. Stoke 0, Tottenham 4. Arsenal 3, Stoke 1, Liverpool 4, Stoke 1, Chelsea 4, Stoke 2. That allies to the fact that Spurs are quite goalsy, in quotes, and quite winny. They've won their last 10 home games in a row in all competitions. There have been 36 goals scored in those games, making an average of 3.6 goals per game. He's done the maths,
this guy. He's shown he's working.
So do the right thing and pick this as better the week, if not for me, then for charity. We've done it, Ed. You're in the hot seat. And he finishes off by saying, oh, and I once saw Pete in a pub in Finsbury Park. He was wearing a very nifty suit and was amorous with all who crossed his path. That's obviously unrelated, but I felt it worth mentioning. Cheers, yeah. Ed. Absolutely worth mentioning.
Do report that behaviour. Yeah.
That's because he always refers to women as love, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Well, hello, my love.
Everyone as love. Yeah. So to sum up, £50 at 10-11 with Bet365 will return £95.45, including stake, with all proceeds going to the excellent Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. So yeah, that's our bet of the week, and let's root for Ed and for everyone else.
Right, let's now look ahead to the weekend, gentlemen.
Yeah, let's do that. What have we got here? Jack Stewart says, I'm looking forward to Anton Deck's Saturday night takeaway coming back. So
fair enough.
I don't know, I've been away.
What have we got here? London Craig, I'm going to be listening to your audiobook on a flight to Thailand, #travel. Good man,
nice
Craig. What have we got? Joe Flatt, he says, the EFL final. The biggest Sunday in Southampton since the end of Craig David's famous week.
I like that.
And
like that a lot.
He chilled on Sunday, didn't he? He's young at the age of and I'll finish off with an email from Alistair Dinnywell, the excellently named Alistair Dinnywell. He says, I'm looking forward to the top of the table thigh rubber between Cleethorpes Town and Pickering Town. Despite an unbeaten run of 16 league games and the away record of play 13, 1-12, drawn 1, the Pikes are still 2 points behind Cleethorpes going into Saturday's game. Annoyingly, Cleethorpes' home record is even more impressive. It played 15, 1-14, drawn 1. Genuinely can't tell which way it will go. As Luke pointed out last week, it's a grand old club, and if you want some more questionably interesting facts, Pickering have a long-standing sponsorship deal with former Ramble argument Flamingo Land.
Ooh.
Ah. Former Everton and Blackburn defender Craig Short used to play for them in 86-87. Mm-hmm. Simon Grayson's dad played for them and once scored 11 goals in one game.
Blimey.
And Bobby Robson was guest of honour at the 1988 centenary dinner.
Now you're
story.
Talking.
Story. Yeah. Any one of those could be made up, and I've not checked. So we'll take it on face value.
Shame on him if they are.
Well, men called Alistair don't tend to be liars, so I've given him the benefit of the doubt.
Alistair Campbell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It's spelt differently. It's spelt differently.
Right.
Yeah, spelt differently. So that's what we got for the looking forward to the weekend. What are you guys looking forward to?
Mark Clattenburg.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been confirmed he will carry on refereeing in the Premier League until the end of the season. Apparently he'll be in charge of West Brom versus Bournemouth this weekend. Mm. So we will have some sort of send-off.
A finale.
It's a send-off tour from now on, Jim.
Yeah. We're all sort of, and not just on this show, but I guess the sort of football media at large, if you want to call them that, are all sort of being quite sneery about Mark Clattenburg, all laughing about it, but at the same time sort of acknowledging that he is probably the best ref in the Premier League,
yeah,
and we're genuinely worse off without him.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, dear me. Any more for any more?
Nope.
All good.
Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Enjoy those footballs this weekend. We will be back at the start of the week, of course, and we'll see you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.